Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to begin in the book of Luke, in the New Testament, one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. And I'll be reading the first five verses of Luke 13 concerning this subject, the necessity of repentance. The necessity of repentance. And I'm going to be talking about repentance quite a bit in this message and probably the next, because it is such a misunderstood issue today. What is real repentance? For example, most people, when they think of repentance, they think of really what is, in reality, reformation. Somebody changing their life, like they go from the, as we used to say, from the gutter to the pew. Go from living an immoral life to a religious life or a devout life. And that's reformation. But reformation is not repentance. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Reformation will follow repentance. There will be a reformation. But it may not be the kind of reformation that you think of, or most people think of, because when people think of repentance, they think about repenting over sins, and that's what repentance is. You must repent of your sins. That's what that comes in salvation, and that repentance comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith and repentance. You know, people argue sometimes, they'll say, which comes first, faith or repentance? Well, faith is the foundation grace, which is the gift of God to His people. And those who have been brought to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance comes with it. One man said it's like two sides of a coin. You can't have one side without the other. Or two sides of a sheet of paper. You've got one side and then the other. You can't divide them. And so I would agree with that, that if there is faith, if there is true faith in Christ, believing the gospel of God's grace in Christ, there will be repentance. But now reformation will follow. And what kind of reformation is it? Well, again, most people think of it as living someone who lives an immoral lifestyle who reforms to a moral, devout, religious lifestyle, starts going to church, gets baptized, all of that. But see, that's not repentance. That's reformation. And then others think about repentance as being, well, you've got to feel sorry for your sins. Now, it is true if you're a believer, and I would say this for everybody, but if you're a believer, you need to feel sorry. You need to have what the Bible calls godly sorrow over sins. But that's not repentance. Sorrow over sin will follow repentance, comes with repentance. But sorrow over what kind of sin? And that's what people need to understand today. So we're going to talk about the necessity of repentance. But let me just say this before I read the scripture here. The word repentance in the New Testament literally means a change of mind. Now, mark that down. It's a change of mind, and it's a God-given, God-worked change of mind. It's not a change of mind that you will come to on your own, or I came to on my own. Just like faith, you know, faith is the gift of God. Man by nature will not believe God, not the gospel now. He might believe a lot of things that are true and a lot of things that are right, but he won't believe the gospel. Because it's against his fallen human nature. I quote on this program all the time. the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And what he's talking about there, in that, that's 1 Corinthians 2:14, that spiritual discernment is spiritual judgment. In other words, the natural man who's fallen, ruined by the fall, ruined in Adam, born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, has no real spiritual judgment. Now, he has a conscience. He knows something about right and wrong, but his conscience is defiled. And listen to me. When it comes to issues of salvation and a right relationship with God, we by nature, on our own, have no spiritual judgment. We don't know the difference between right and wrong when it comes to salvation and a right relationship with God. Now, we know, again, we know the difference between right and wrong with the laws of the land and our relationships with people. God's given every man a conscience, every woman a conscience, and they have that. Now, they can squelch that conscience. The Bible speaks of those of a reprobate mind, a mind void of judgment, which means they've sunk so far into sin that they no longer know right from wrong. They call good evil and evil good. But by nature, of ourselves, we will not believe the gospel because we don't have any spiritual judgment. And then that's the natural man. So faith is the gift of God. Well, repentance is the gift of God too. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so faith is given to God's people under the preaching of the gospel, and they're brought to repentance. And that repentance means a change of mind. Well, a change of mind about what? Well, specifically, that repentance that Paul wrote in Romans 2 about the goodness of God that leads to repentance has to do with a right judgment concerning salvation and a right relationship with God. And that's what the change of mind is over. You know, most people, if they're living an immoral lifestyle, let's say someone who is an alcoholic and stays drunk all the time, they know that that's wrong. In their judgment, they know that that's not right. Now, they may not be able to stop that kind of behavior. They may not be able to squelch it because they're addicts, a drug addict, an alcoholic, whatever, a sex addict, a gambling, whatever. They may not be able to squelch it, but they know in their mind that this is wrong. This is not right behavior. This is not productive. But repentance that comes in salvation has to do with something that we think is right, but is really wrong. And when God brings us to repentance, gives us the gift of repentance, He changes our mind and then follows reformation and sorrow over sin. You understand that? So repentance is a God-given, God-worked, miraculous change of mind. Now let me lay the foundation here from Luke chapter 13. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to a group of people. He'd been talking about the gospel, and he says in verse 1, this is Luke 13, he says, it's recorded here, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now, that's speaking of a true historical event where some Galileans were bringing the sacrifices of the Old Covenant, the blood of animals, as their sacrifices, according to the law, bringing them maybe unto the priest or whatever. But Pilate, for some reason, you know who Pilate was, Pontius Pilate, he was the governor, the Roman governor that ruled over Judea. Apparently, there was something going on here politically or something that he wanted to make a point. And he sent soldiers in to slaughter these people while they were bringing their sacrifices. And so their blood was mingled with their sacrifices. Now look at verse 2. This is the point I want to get to. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Now, it's kind of natural for people when something like that happens, and I don't know specifically what these Galileans were and their character and their conduct, how they appeared before men, but it's natural for people to look at something like that and to naturally think, well, they got what they deserved. They must have committed some great sin in their life, or God would not have let that happen. And most of you may know better than that, but listen to what Christ says to the crowd. He says, verse 2 again, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Verse 3, he says, I tell you nay or no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. If you look at those and you say, well, they must have been greater sinners than everybody else, or they wouldn't have got that. And Christ says, no, you're thinking wrongly. Your mind's not right. You need a change of mind. He said, because I'm telling you, except you repent, you'll perish just like them. Somebody says, well, they got what they deserve. Well, what if God would give me or you what you deserve? The Bible says that that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it says that the wages of sin is death. I know it says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the wages of sin is death. What is a wage? Well, that's what you can earn. If God ever gave me what I've earned and deserved right now at this moment, I would be doomed. That's what he's teaching here. Except you repent, change, except you go through this change of mind concerning your judgment of what, of who deserves death. And who, somebody said, well, we got to know who deserves heaven. Nobody deserves heaven. And so he says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now that tells us the necessity of repentance. Except you repent, you'll perish. Repent or perish. There is no one who is saved who has not been brought by God to repentance. There's no one who will enter heaven's glory who has not been brought to repentance. But now let's look on here. Many of you may say when somebody goes through something like that, you may not say, well, they got what they deserve or something. But now let me show you another scenario here. Look at verse 4 of Luke 13. He says, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Now this was what we put in the category of a natural disaster, maybe a tornado or a hurricane. And it says, and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners? The word sinners there is a debtor above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem. Do you think that disaster came upon them because they were greater sinners than the others in Jerusalem? And of course he says in verse 5, I tell you, nay, no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, a lot of times things like that happen in other places, and people are apt to say, well, they got what they deserve. I remember years ago when Hurricane Katrina came through the city of New Orleans. I can remember preachers on TV talking about how wicked New Orleans is and how that God was punishing them because of that wickedness. If a hurricane would hit Las Vegas or some infamous city, like, think about in the Bible, Sodom and Gomorrah. God did bring down his judgment on them because of their sins. Think about the world before the flood. God brought his wrath in the form of that flood and wiped them all out because of their sin. But now here's the point. How am I to view that? Well, I'm to view it this way. All sin deserves death. Now that's right. You say, well, I had a man tell me one time, he says, well, I know I'm not perfect, but I've never done anything to deserve hell. And I told him, I said, all sin deserves death. If we could say one sin, yes. How about a million sins? Yeah. But now we are sinners. We've committed a multitude of sins. And those who deny that deny the Scriptures. They haven't been brought to repentance. And so all sin deserves death. And somebody said, well, that hurricane hit New Orleans because that's such a wicked city. Well, my friend, I can tell you about tornadoes and hurricanes that hit Albany, Georgia. And there's a church about on every street corner around here. And this is the Bible Belt. Some people say it's the buckle on the Bible Belt. Did we get what we deserve? You see what I'm saying? Now, this issue of repentance brings these things to mind. That's what God does. He brings them to mind so that we can understand what He means. And that's how He gives the gift of repentance. Well, here's the point. Here's one of the biggest points in that change of mind that God brings about in repentance. And that's for every one of us alike. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? Well, that's Romans 3:23. And it means that every person, every man, woman, born of Adam, is born in a state of spiritual death, and we all come forth from the womb, we sin, and even our best efforts to be good fall short. All have sinned and come short, miss the mark of the glory of God. And what is the glory of God? Well, the glory of God is Christ. It's the glorious person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so repentance is a change of mind. Now listen to me very carefully. Repentance is when God, through His Word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, changes our minds concerning who God is, what He's really like, in His holiness, His justice, His judgments, all of that. Yes, His mercy, His grace, and His love, but not apart from His holiness and His justice, His righteousness, His truth. You see, God must judge according to truth. The Bible teaches us that over in the book of Romans, chapter 2. Look over there with me. Listen to this. Here in Romans 2, you know, he'd been bringing in the first chapter, beginning at verse 18, the apostle was led by the Spirit to bring the whole human race guilty before God based upon their best efforts to obey. And then he showed how the Gentile world had descended into such horrible sinful practices. But then in chapter 2, he turns to the religious Jews. And listen to what he says in Romans 2 and verse 1. He says, Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. All right, make a judgment. Now don't get that confused with judging righteous judgment. And I'll talk to you about that in a moment. But the Bible does not, God's Word does not forbid all judgment. You know, people use Matthew 7:1 as a watchword to that, and they misuse it where it says, judge not that you be not judged. Well, what he's forbidding there in Matthew 7 is self-righteous judgment. And that's what he's talking about here in Romans chapter 2. Self-righteous judgment. The kind of judgment that would look at the city of New Orleans and say, well, they got destroyed because they're great sinners. But we're not destroyed because we're better. That kind of judgment, judge not that you be not judged. That's self-righteous judgment. But now righteous judgment is judging based upon God's Word. And my friend, it's no good for you to look at yourself and say, well, I don't judge anybody. You judge everything. Now, you might as well face it. You're judging me right now. You say, well, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. You're judging whether I'm telling you the truth or telling you a lie. Now, on what do you base your judgment? Do you base your judgment on the fact that you don't like what I'm saying? Or do you base it upon the fact that it's not what you've heard all your life? Well, that's self-righteous judgment. Now, if you want to judge me properly, righteously, judge me according to this book. Am I telling you what God's word is? And if you ever, God ever brings you to repentance, that's where you'll come to. But now here in Romans 2 and verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that think judgest doest the same things. Now, the Jews, the religious Jews, who judged the immoral Gentiles lost, they could say, well, now we're not doing the same things those Gentiles are doing. We're not engaging in homosexuality and open idolatry and immorality. No, but they were still sinners. And in that sense, they do the same thing. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jew and Gentile. Over in Romans chapter 3, Paul says, the scripture hath concluded all under sin. And he says, are we better than they? Are we better off than the Gentiles? No, in no wise. Jew and Gentile. You see, salvation is by grace. And that's for the Jew and the Gentile. That's for the man in the gutter and the man behind a pew worshiping an idol or false god or a false gospel or a counterfeit Christ. They are both just as much in need of God's grace and mercy through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as each other. There's not one better than another when it comes to salvation and a right relationship with God. They are both in need of a righteousness they cannot produce. And the religious person who does not know Christ and does not know the true and living God, who believes a false gospel, is no closer to that righteousness, to salvation, to a right relationship with God, than the man in the gutter. That's what I'm telling you. That's the change of mind. And that's what he's saying. Look at Romans 2 and verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And verse 3, thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Now look at verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? Now, his riches of his goodness is in the gospel of salvation for sinners who deserve nothing but death. Sinners who have earned nothing but death. Sinners who cannot save themselves. Sinners who are by nature enemies of God and alienated from God in their mind by wicked works, which is their deeds. And he says, And he says, thinkest thou this, O man, or verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You see it there? Leads you to a change of mind. If you ever see how God saves sinners by his free and sovereign grace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness, because you don't have one, and I don't have one. There's none righteous, no, not one, over in Romans 3:10. None that doeth good. If you ever see the reality of God's grace to save me and to keep me and to bring me to glory by His mercy based upon the righteousness of Christ, freely imputed to me, charged to me, not because of my works or my will, wasn't on my free will. If you ever come to repentance, you'll see that your will was just as much in bondage as everything else about you. If you ever see that, that means you've been brought to repentance. Repentance. The Bible calls it repentance of dead works. What's a dead work? It's a work that leads to death. It can appear moral in the eyes of men. It can appear religious and sincere. The Jews sought after righteousness by their works. That appears good to men. But if you're brought to repentance, God brings you to a change of mind about that. You see. Now, all right, I'm thinking differently. I'm judging differently. I have a different value of things. And so, look over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you this. Because this shows you the essence of repentance. This repentance of dead works. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 that I read all the time here. And quote all the time. where it says in verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned." He has no value for these things. When I tell you about the gospel of Christ and those who are ignorant of or not submitted to his righteousness are lost, do you have any value for that? Is that your standard of judgment? But look at verse 15. "But he that is spiritual," that's a believer, a repentant person, "judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." What judgment is he talking about? He's talking about judgment of who God is, of who we are, of saved and lost, what it takes. That doesn't mean that I know everybody who's saved and everybody who's lost. It means that I know this. Everybody who's saved, they come to God begging for mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ based on his righteousness alone. And everybody who's lost, they come pleading something else. Their works, their will. They believe salvation's conditioned on them. But look at verse 16. He says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, how can it be said, even as a believer, that I have the mind of Christ? Does that mean I don't have any sinful thoughts, impure thoughts? No, I do. I have the flesh to deal with. How do we have the mind of Christ? When God brings a sinner to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works and idolatry, that change of mind concerning who God is, he changes gods. That's what happens. The God I worshiped when I was brought up in church, in my mind, is a false God. Change God. How do we have the mind of Christ? We think like he does in the sense of his word. We see things as he saw them. What he calls dead works, we call dead works. What he calls good works, we call good works. That's the issues of faith and repentance. Do you have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice? Well, I'll talk about that next time in more detail. But that's what repentance is. That's the necessity of repentance. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969, or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.